Welcome to Crosstown Cardboard, a sports card podcast with two collectors from opposite sides of New York City. Craig and Carmine share sports card stories from the perspective of a teacher and broadcaster. This is Crosstown Cardboard.
Welcome to Crosstown Cardboard, episode 81. And we're going to try to score as many points as Kobe Bryant for episode 81 because we have Craig, our leading scorer at New York City Sports Cards, the math teacher, the soccer coach. He knows a lot about numbers, especially 81 for this particular occasion. And myself, Carmine at Carmine's Cards, the sports storyteller down here in Greenville, South Carolina, but originally from Ossining, New York. And I'm just getting back, Craig, from the NCAA tournament, March Madness. I was covering the South Carolina Gamecocks men. They made it to their first NCAA tournament game since 2017, and they had that magical run all the way to the Final Four. Unfortunately, not a lot of magic in this NCAA tournament. They lost in the first round to Oregon, but it was still an awesome experience in Pittsburgh, PA. I got myself, as is required when you make a trip to Pittsburgh, a terrible towel. So I was very excited about that. Got to do a little sightseeing, which we might get to here. Went to the Pirates Stadium, went to the Steelers Stadium, formerly Heinz Field. And I even got a little piece of memorabilia, the Heinz Field cup holder that they're selling because they had to rebrand and everything. Cool. So they were selling these for just $1 a piece. But I'm burying the lead because the title of episode 81, given all this March Madness and the college hoops, I got my Blue Devils for Duke, the Alabama Crimson Tide, two teams in the tourney. The title is College Cards or Nah, N-A-H, because we're from the city, instead of Naw, N-A-W, from the farm, which would be how you pronounce it down south here in this area. Because it's always a big question. Are these college cards investable? Are they something you want to, you know, have in your collection even? Which I know, Craig, me and you have a few college cards, and I have some more so in my collection than in my investment area. But college cards or nah? How do you want to set up this episode? And then, of course, as we usually do, we'll get into recent pickups that we've got, what we have going on as far as shows, trade nights, and other topics that come to mind. But for the start, college cards or nah, Craig?
Yeah, we've got a plethora of topics to cover. Ooh. We'll start with the college. And I was actually working with the Crosstown Cardboard analytics team, and they came up with a stat for me that the South Carolina men's basketball program is all-time 0-1 when you cover the games. I'm just saying, you might be the mush, but next year we'll turn it around.
That's true. And at least out of it, I got my March Madness debut media credential. So we'll see if that, could be worth money one day. We'll see. I'm going to have to get it PSA authenticated with the Carmine Jamé, you know, debut on the bottom there on the label. But yeah, it was too bad, but it was a great trip and a great run. You know, they tied the program record for wins in a single season with 26. So it was that feeling of disappointment, but you know, more so pride that they were able to even make it that far.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, it's pretty cool that you're in the thick of things. I'm not as interested in college basketball as I used to be. I do a bracket for work. Other than that, I'm not like glued to the TV all day personally. But
yeah.
The timing of March Madness works well with the topic, which once again, we came up with 5 minutes ago. So shout out to us for the creativity.
Right. Timely.
Yeah. So college cards, basically, are they collectible or not? Right? That's kind of what we're getting at.
Yeah.
And they have collegiate specific sets. Flawless has their Flawless Collegiate. Basketball has Prism Draft Picks, which they only did for a couple of years. So the college cards do exist.
Well, Bowman U is a popular one too.
Right. So I guess we are seeing more of it. And the question becomes, is it collectible? Is there demand for it? Is there resale value? I've got a couple of examples here of one, a card that has been in my PC for over a decade that is a college card, and another card that has been in my PC for about 4 years.
Wow.
Just recently, I was thinking about taking from my PC moving it to my inventory. And they're both college cards, but you being the March Madness guru, why don't you get us started with your thoughts on this?
I wouldn't say that because my bracket is busted. I'll tell you that much.
Listen, you're on the floor with these college basketball players. You are the guru.
That was very cool. I was right courtside for that game. And coming up, I mean, we're recording this Saturday because, you know, I will be traveling with some of these teams. And the Clemson men won their first round game. The South Carolina women, the number one overall seed, is where I'm going tomorrow, which at the time of recording is going to be Sunday. So I'm going to be right on the court with them too. So, yeah, it's just I'm so grateful for that type of experience. But you know who I would have loved to see in person in college? A guy who, I think, because of the notoriety he's gotten, Craig, from everybody listening to Crosstown Cardboard, knowing that I have him in my personal collection, and now he's elevated to a point where he has a podcast one-on-one with LeBron James.
Oh.
And that is J.J. Redick, of course, who I would have loved to see in person. And I think a big factor in the collectability of somebody's college cards is how were they as a superstar in college versus how were they as a superstar in the pros? And we all know there's been a lot of guys who have been better pros than they were in college as far as what they're known for. Or were they really peaking in college and then they had, you know, average or above average careers in the NBA or the NFL, but it never matched what they did in college. So J.J. Redick, when you think of him, you think of, number one, me having him in my PC. That's obviously the first thing that comes to mind.
Number two, being my friend.
Number two, yes, you meeting him at Tobias's wedding and obviously hitting it off. And a distant third would probably be his career at Duke. Anyway, but if you're collecting J.J. Redick stuff, or let's say like Matt Leinart at USC, you know, the quarterback,
wow. Be more
or, random. Or Vince Young at Texas, you know, guys who were national champions in college, or J.J. Redick, you know, one of the best college players of all time. Christian Laettner comes to mind, you know, people like that who, when you think of them, when the I Hate Christian Laettner documentary comes out, what percentage of time is spent talking about his Duke career versus his career with the Timberwolves and his, you know, appearance on the Dream Team and stuff like that. So I think if the guy's more well-known for college than he is pros, a lot of times his college stuff will be more desirable, more collectible, retain more value. So I'm just showing on the screen this immaculate collection, J.J. Redick autograph. It's a sticker auto. But this was a gift, actually, from a couple Christmases ago from somebody who tunes into the podcast and the YouTube and heard me talking about starting up a J.J. Redick collection. And this is the only college J.J. Redick autograph I have. So it's numbered out of 49 and just very cool. I mean, you think of J.J. Redick, you think of Duke and how much of a sharpshooter he was. Him and Adam Morrison, who would be another guy who you're going to collect his Bobcats cards, his Lakers cards, or are you going to collect him with Gonzaga, you know, one of the country's leading scorers along with J.J. Redick. So that would be an awesome dual auto.
Yeah.
J.J. Redick and Adam Morrison, Gonzaga and Duke, the first and second leading scorers in the country for one season.
I always remember their draft class too, because I was opening 2006-07 products heavy. Mm-hmm. They had a Bowman product. So I remember going to Target and always searching for J.J. and Adam Morrison.
Yeah.
To get. But you pretty much nailed it. I think when you think about, and we're not counting, like if you're an Ohio State alumni and you collect Ohio State cards, obviously.
Right. Like brand. I have my Clemson PC, and that's, you know, if you're collecting, of course, it's cool to you. We're really, like you said, more focused on how's the value of that? Like what's the investable?
Sure. Exactly. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So we're not counting the people who are actually diehard fans of those colleges.
Right.
I think you nailed it best. Basically, like, what is their legacy? And I think of it, the way I'll rephrase it is, was this athlete's experience in college a part of their legacy?
Yeah.
You know, I'm just going to think of a recent example, like Paolo Banchero.
Yeah.
Fantastic player, all-star in his second year. I don't think when he goes down as an all-star or however his career blossoms, we're all going to think like, oh, Paolo Banchero, Duke legend, right? You're just not going to think that. So
yeah,
maybe his Duke cards won't quite hit the same.
And you know what? It's tough if you have so many one and done guys. Like
yes.
And by the way, real quick, I found this. I'll have to get this at some point because it's a co-signers, which I think is a very undervalued set. The Topps Full Court, and mm-hmm. it's Adam Morrison and JJ Redick, rookie autos, dual autograph on the same card. But you know, it's Bobcats and Orlando Magic. So, you know, I'd like to see if there's a Gonzaga and a Duke version, but it doesn't look like there is on a quick glance. But yeah, like Kyrie Irving, are you going to remember his Duke days? He played like 13 games with Duke. Kevin Durant, you're going to remember him at Texas? You know, I mean, he was great, but like Greg Oden, if you're going to collect him, you might collect Ohio State stuff over, you know, Portland Trailblazers. You're going to remember him as a bust. You know, I mean, of course, Greg Oden cards aren't going to have much value anyway, but, you know, that might be something where, because he was, you know, the number one pick, that, okay, that's a different level. But yeah, I think you totally hit the nail on the head also with the legacy. What do you remember about these guys? Does it even involve college? Does that come up in the first five things of the conversation?
And you mentioned the product, Topps Full Court. You got me in all my feels right now. Like the old Topps basketball sets from those mid-2000s that you just don't hear about anymore.
Yep.
Topps Full Court, Topps Trademark Moves. It was a higher end. It was like Topps Echelon. Jogging back a lot of memories.
Yep.
Here's a perfect example of a card. I purchased this card in 2009. I must have paid $30, $40 for it. And I think this is an example of a college card that if you see this at a show, it's in demand. People are going to want it. So it's 2009, 2010 Upper Deck Signature Collection, rookie autograph, Stephen Curry in the Davidson uniform.
Nice.
Obviously, this is a different example. Curry is an all-time great. But I think when you think of Curry, you definitely are reminded of his days in Davidson. That was when he came onto the scene.
Yeah.
And what a better time. And it's funny that we really did not plan this, but what a great time to bring up this card during March Madness, because that's really where his legacy started, we'll say.
Yeah, I mean, bringing such a tiny school to the tournament. And I think they won at least a couple games.
Yep. This is in the Davidson uniform. You do have the Warriors logo there, which is cool, but it's a college card. It's in his, it's an NBA product, but it's in his college uniform. So, yeah, this is an example of a college card that I do think, like any Curry Davidson rookie cards, there will always be a place for in this hobby.
But you know what I like, if you can bring that card up on the screen again, Craig, that I like about that card in particular, and I know we're getting into the weeds here with, but, you know, that's what we do. We nerd out on cards on Crosstown Cardboard anyway. So what I like about that card in particular, it doesn't just show Davidson. It also has the Golden State Warriors logo. So it has him in the Davidson uniform, but it encapsulates both his college and pro careers on the same card, even in a small way with the Warriors logo, to where it's not just remember him in college. It's also like spanning his entire career, telling that bridge story from college to the pros at the same time. So I think that makes it much more of a long-term, you know, cooler product than just saying just his Davidson card, you know, at that time.
And without looking too much into it, it's a Steph Curry autograph rookie card. Speaks for itself. And the fact that I've kind of wild. I've had that card for 15 years in my possession.
Wow.
And I'm weird like that as a collector. Once you have it for so long, it's pretty difficult to get rid of at this point.
Is there a statute of limitations once it's been in your PC for how long it's staying there for good?
That's a great question. I don't know. 10 years? 5 years?
Yeah, I think 10 years. I mean, if it's in there for 10 years, I mean, how are you going to move it after that
long? You can't at this point. I mean, I'm into this for nothing. I'm into this car for less than $100. It's probably worth 10x that now.
Yeah.
Here's an example of a college card that I think a big reason that I've kept it to this point is because I pack pulled it.
Okay, so, hold on. Okay. Should I do one? Because I have a couple. I don't want to, you know, shoot all your rounds for. Should I jump in here?
Sure.
Okay. So, see what you think of this. And by the way, great tease. Now that what that turned into. This is a card that I. So this is kind of a, you know, sweet story. Hopefully, so. I bought one card for the girl I'm talking to. She's a big college football fan. She went to Oklahoma, okay? And she is a huge Sooners fan. Of course, they had that great run of quarterbacks, you know, between Baker Mayfield and, you know, also Kyler Murray coming right after, and Spencer Rattler, who wasn't as good, and he came to the University of South Carolina, so I got to cover him. And then Jalen Hurts, Caleb Williams. So what a run of quarterbacks, you know, in a short amount of time. So I was like, what can I get her for Christmas? That was kind of a card, you know, thing, because I now she has four cards in her collection, which maybe we'll talk about at another time, because it's kind of fun, like buying for somebody and initiating them into the hobby. So I'm like, all right, she loves college football. And she also has a big crush on Joe Burrow.
Handsome guy. I get it. Swag. Totally get it.
Who doesn't? Who doesn't? And, you know, if you were to comp Joe Burrow, you would look at this side of the screen for Crosstown Cardboard. well, we, you know, there are a lot of upsets in March Madness, so maybe that could be an upset pick in your bracket. But anyway, so Joe Burrow, Kyler Murray, and Baker Mayfield. This is a triple – it's player-worn because it's college, but it's a triple jersey card from Immaculate, numbered out of 99. So I wanted to get her this because, you know, it's got her two Heisman Trophy-winning quarterbacks on it, Baker Mayfield and Kyler Murray, and her crush, who's also a Heisman Trophy winner. So it's got the three Heisman Trophy winners, Baker, Kyler, Joe Burrow, Joe Cool here, all in the same card. Three guys who she, you know, has a connection to and likes. So I bought that card on eBay, Craig, at a buy it now, forgetting that I had done a best offer on another version of the same exact card. So I ended up buying the one for her for Christmas. Then my offer was accepted on the second one of the same card. So I got two of this same exact card with the Burrow, Murray, and Mayfield player worn jerseys from Immaculate. So I'm like, you know what? You have one and I'll have one, and we'll have the same card as the first card that I ever got her and the first card that she ever got for herself. And now I have the same exact card, you know, with the three different college quarterback Heisman Trophy winners. So,
I mean, you know, getting
go ahead.
Having a card for yourself and then giving that card to someone else so you each have one, that's like basically the hobby equivalent of a friendship bracelet.
Right. Hopefully I don't get friend zoned after giving her a card. Nice. It's like, you know, when you have the two different heart necklaces and they match up with each other, like one person has one side of the heart, the other person has the other side of the heart. And when they connect, I mean, this is not as corny because it's cardboard, but, you know, I think the story, you know, just to make a point about that, as far as the investability, you know, with the topic of this episode of the college cards, you know, which would be yes instead of nah on this one, because it has a great story to it, you know, and all three of these guys were Heisman Trophy winning quarterbacks and legends in college. So this is a cheap card. It's like a $60, $70 card. But I think it just tells a great story that all three of them won the Heisman Trophy. Two of them played for Oklahoma and one of them at LSU. So I don't know. I think the story behind it tells, you know, has a great impact on, is that going to hold its value? And even if it doesn't, it's something cool. Like in my case, it's something cool and it's a connection with somebody who I care about. So I don't really care too much about it, but I think that card would hold a decent value, especially since it's starting at not a high value to begin with and has a great story behind it.
Again, that I would assume there's a smaller collector base for that. You're going to really find someone who is a Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Oklahoma fan. Whereas like the Curry, there's probably a wider collector base who might want that card.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's how I think about this recent card that has been in my PC. My Zion case is my PC. That's like my personal collection. That's my 90%, if you recall from last week's episode.
Yes, great, great breakdown with another pie chart.
Okay, I pack pulled this myself in 2019. A little sentimental value to cards that you pack pull, especially because he was, and I guess still is, a top rookie. 2019, 2020, Panini Prism draft picks, autograph. The camo version numbered out of 25 with a cool color match. I graded it myself as well. BGS 9, 10 autograph, numbered out of 25, John Morant.
Oh, okay. Murray State.
So here was my thought with this card and why it was PC to this point. I felt like with the young guys, like I have one Tatum autograph in my PC. Felt like, all right, Tatum is up-and-coming superstar. I need one Tatum. Ja, up-and-coming superstar. I need one Ja Morant card. So if you're trying to get one card of a guy, there's no more organic way for that one card to be a card that you pack pull. Otherwise, there's such a wide variety. How do you even choose?
Yeah.
So for the longest time, I'm like, yeah, Ja Morant, you know, he was maybe not the highest recruited player out of high school. That's how I ended up at Murray State. But is Murray State really a part of Ja Morant's legacy?
Kind of. I mean, to be the second overall pick coming from Murray State. And remember, he didn't have almost positive. This is just off the top of my head. I'm almost positive he had a triple double in the NCAA tournament. Speaking of March Madness, you know, the timeliness. I mean, because Curry kind of a similar now, of course, Curry's accomplished way more in his career. But, you know, Curry coming onto the scene at Davidson, Ja coming onto the scene at Murray State in the NCAA tournament, the biggest stage to be the. To be a first-round pick from those small schools and a guard, I mean, I think it's definitely nowhere close to his pro legacy, but I think it's part of his story for sure.
Perhaps. I think you're going to get more people who, if they're trying, if they're looking, I have this card out at a show, I think you'll get way more people saying like, oh, college uniform. So versus the Curry, I don't think you'll really have people back on it.
Yeah, that's the all-time great difference, I think, in the legacy so far, for sure.
Yeah, but that's really all I got on the college card conversation because I don't really have a whole lot of them.
So what do you think about the investability of that Ja Morant? Now, of course, we're bringing up cards that we have a personal connection to. That's more the reason why we have them rather than like I don't know the last time I bought a college card to try to sell for a profit.
Right. And I wouldn't have bought this one to sell for a profit. Like I said, it was pack pulled.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think it goes back to the point. Was this player's college career really a part of their legacy? Caitlin Clark in Iowa. Perfect example. I think her Iowa cards are going to forever have significance. Curry and Davidson, Ja Morant and Murray State. I'm not so sure. Joe Burrow and LSU. He did win a national championship there, right? So those are things to consider. Yeah. Even and Zion and Duke? No.
Really?
He had the 1 year. They didn't really win anything.
But, bro, remember how freaking electric he was in college?
Sure. You think Zion Duke cards are in demand?
You know what I think? Do you remember that guy who came up to us at our table when we were set up at Culture Collision in Atlanta? And he had that awesome, like, five different Zion Williamson Duke jersey cards, like, National Treasures, Immaculate, Flawless. Do you remember that guy?
For the sake of the podcast, I will say yes, I remember.
Okay. He didn't make our all Culture Collision first team or second team or honorable mention. But he was an honorable mention in my heart. He did have a great moment. But I think because Zion's pro career has been so, you know, up and down and with the weight problems and the injuries, and he hasn't really taken off in the pros for a consistent amount of time. For me right now, I'd rather have a Duke Blue Devils Zion card than Pelicans.
Well, that's why we're here to embrace debate.
Yeah, I know. Just call us Skip Bayless and Stephen A right now. But those are great points about the college guys, but very difficult to invest in those college cards because then if they do anything in the pros, it's like, unless they're an all-time great. I think that's a big factor. And if they go to a awesome big school like LSU, Oklahoma, that's one thing. Murray State, or let's say Damian Lillard, Weber State, it's like, how many alumni do they even have to want to collect that version of the card?
Yeah, and if they – you know, once they make the leap from college to pros, we tend to move on. I was laying myself up for a transition.
I'm sorry, bro, but let me hit you. I think this will be worth it. Okay. And then hopefully, can you save that transition? I want to hear it. I think your transitions are always on point.
Well, the transition was going to be once they take the leap from college to pros, we forget about their college performances. And I was going to say, speaking of taking a leap, I picked up a ticket.
Oh, okay. You go for the ticket because I have a ticket that's college related. So,
okay. All right.
Now that we have our layout, I think we got it. So I like that.
If you're a new listener to the show, I don't know how far back you have to go. It was probably like an August episode where I went to the storage unit and I found the Mrs. Babe Ruth autograph card on a 1962 Fleer tops. Shoot, I can't remember. Babe Ruth card.
Yeah.
Bought it for like $10, graded it into the card for $100, sold it for $1,000.
So you casually made 10x on a Mrs. Babe Ruth card. Yeah.
And I hadn't been back to the that storage unit since then. Until yesterday. Today's Saturday we're recording. And it's like the most New York card collector experience I could have. And it was such a nice day for me. Like my school is located on 49th Street on the west side. And this storage unit, I hit the guy up. I made my appointment Friday at 4 p.m. It's a 10 to 15 minute walk from my school. Get out of school, finish grading, log off. 10-15 minute walk to the storage unit. Guy brings me up to the sixth floor. Same setup as last time. And it's not like one storage unit. He basically runs his shop out of a floor on the storage unit. So there's like a hallway filled with different cards and toys and collectibles and comics.
Wow.
And there was a lot of – it's a 99% junk.
Okay.
So I'm searching for – 20 minutes. I don't come up with much. I come up with an Iverson rookie card from 96, 97 tops. Yeah. $5, you know.
Iconic.
This one caught my eye. Chauncey Billups, Fleer Ultra rookie card, but the Courtmasters insert.
Whoa. So,
I paid, again, like $10 for this. It's actually like a $25, $30 card.
Why did they – so they basically made it two versions of the same card on the front with him upside down and right side up?
Yeah. Exactly. And again, in a sea of just junk in the storage unit where the cards are all in these like boards, almost like you're looking up and they're just inserted into the board. I think if I had the picture from the last time I went, it would make sense. But anyway, I just having been looking at cards for the last two decades, I'm like, I saw the Bulls. I'm like, oh, I have a feeling this one's a little bit something extra. And I was right. I looked it up and it was worth more than he had it tagged at. So I'm there for 30 minutes. I'm like, damn, is that really going to be my whole haul from my 30-minute visit? Like, there's got to be more. There has to be more. You never give up. You keep looking. And I came across this at the very end. I paid $40 for these two cards and this ticket I'm about to show you.
So you, before you reveal this, you've been very anti-ticket. You declined my invitation to be my plus one to the ticket niche of the hobby. Are you a ticket guy now?
No. Isolated incident. Oh. Listen, I think I stand for most casual collectors where if you're going to get a ticket, it has to be significant to you or it has to be a major significant event in sports history. So yeah. This one covers the latter.
Okay.
Again, $40 for the lot. So that's why let's just say five and five, and I'm into this for $30.
Yeah.
Tuesday, September 30th, 1975. The Thrilla in Manila. Muhammad Ali versus Joe Frazier. Now, The actual fight took place in the Philippines.
Yeah.
Those tickets, I saw one sell for like $20,000. The full ticket, the actual ticket. Yeah. This is not a ticket. However, different parts of the U.S., they held what's called big screen closed circuit TV. It was a pay-per-view event. Basically, different convention center hold the event. You charge admission to get in. This one was $15. So this is from Asbury Park, New Jersey. The Thrilla in Manila, Muhammad Ali versus Joe Frazier. The ticket stub from basically a watch party at the convention hall in Asbury Park, New Jersey. Now, I did look up the PSA registry, and I didn't see any of these, but I did see other tickets in different locations.
Yep.
They call it a remote view. So 50 years ago, more or less, someone paid for this ticket to go watch the pay-per-view fight at the convention hall in Asbury Park, New Jersey. As far as I know, this exact one, I don't know if any others even exist. I think this is super cool, even though it is in rough shape. It's cool because you have Joe Frazier, you have Muhammad Ali's face. I just think the aesthetics of the ticket are really nice. As opposed to another one I found on eBay, which is the full ticket and a PSA 7 on sale for $450. But I don't know. I don't think that ticket is as sexy.
Now, that's a ticket to another watch party.
Exactly. And this one was in Louisville Downs dining room. So that's a full ticket, PSA 7. No pictures of Muhammad Ali or Joe Frazier on the ticket. I just think this one is way more aesthetically pleasing. And I like it that it took place in New Jersey, so it's close by. Ticket, entry fee, whatever you want to call it. But yeah, for $30 essentially, for a 101 piece of one of the most notorious, famous boxing rivalries ever. This was the 1975 version. So yeah, super cool finds. And this was 30 minutes into the storage unit where I'm like, damn, this is not going to be my best haul. But you don't give up. And I ended up finding at the end. So $30, easy, no brainer. Yeah, pretty cool item.
That's awesome, bro. And, you know, I think an interesting part, because maybe I'll grab my Muhammad Ali Sonny Liston ticket just for a reminder the next time you start talking real quick. But, you know, I think an important part of that, that ticket to the watch party and the screening of it is that, and World Heavyweight Championship, that's cool that it's on the back, but you hit it on the head, because you, as a couple decades collector, know what to look for. And it's the fact that their faces are on it that makes such a big difference. In the original, you know, we talked about the Mount Rushmore of what we look for in a card, what we look for in a ticket. And one of mine, if not the most important factor, the initial impression when you look at it for the first 5 seconds, you see both of their faces on it. And the fact that, yeah, and then you compare it to that ticket to a different watch party and, you know, you don't have their faces on it. You know, it looks like it's a cool, like it looks more like an event ticket. It's cool and it's PSA graded. But having their faces on it and having it at least be in good enough condition to where the writing isn't affected.
Mm. Oh, there's tons of creases on here.
But like, you can still read everything.
The text is bold.
The text, exactly. So, you know, the registration is nice. But, you know, Ali Frazier, the third time they fought, which I believe was the final time they fought. That's also, you know, I mean, the thrill in Manila speaks for itself. But here's another factor that I don't know, you know, that we've considered yet, is that how rare are the tickets to the actual event to get? And if those tickets to the actual event being all the way in the Philippines, somebody would have had to be there, first of all, travel all the way to the Philippines, especially in 1975, to be at that fight, then transport the ticket back in good condition in their luggage, and then, you know, have it preserved and maybe moved houses and still keep it intact and, you know, let alone keep it in their possession. So that ticket is so rare that to me, and price-wise almost untouchable, that to me a ticket to the watch party is way more desirable because that's actually something you can get and is readily available.
Yeah, and I do plan on grading it, which PSA 1 at best. It might just be authentic. But yeah, listen, if I can't afford the actual real ticket, I will take a ticket to the watch party. It's still one-of-a-kind piece. And look, we try not to let in social media influence us too much. But one of the things I like about Instagram is whenever we host a good episode or you post a certain card, you kind of get a feel for how others feel about it just based on the feedback, the number of people that respond, the likes, the hearts. And my inbox was flooded with responses and likes when I posted that on my story. So like, oh,
okay.
Obviously, I picked a winner here because there are many others who agree with that as well. That's why I like social media. It kind of gives you a pulse of, you might think something's cool. How do others view it as well? And clearly this one hit with my anyone who follows me on Instagram.
Yeah, that's a great barometer. I'm really glad you mentioned that. And I wanted to bring up, because you reminded me of an Instagram poll that I did going back to the JJ Redick. And, you know, we mentioned his college card that I had for Duke. And I put up a poll because, you know, he started that podcast with LeBron and just came out with the first episode. And I said, what do you think JJ Redick is most proud of? I said, having a pod with LeBron, being a guy I collect, or very proud of both. So I got 20 responses, and 15 of them voted very proud of both. Four of them voted being a guy I collect, and only one of them voted he's most proud of having a pod with LeBron. So that was a pretty cool social media response. You know, I said that, you know, at the beginning, so it's kind of, you know, we already laid out the groundwork of what he's most proud of in his career, but it's nice to get, you know, reassurance from, the card community. So I got the ticket here, Craig, of the one that I bought, the actual ticket to the event of Muhammad Ali and Sonny Liston that, you know, I've talked about on here before. But the reason I wanted to grab this was, of course, because it relates to Muhammad Ali, but also because I was going through. At the same time, I'm like, do I want to buy a ticket to a watch party like what you did? Now, in my situation, I think it's a lot different because this ticket was to an event that happened in the U.S. It happened in Lewiston, Maine. So it's like a lot more American people would have gone to this than going to the Thrill in Manila, your ticket in the Philippines. So these tickets are way more readily available than yours. So I'm like, if I can get a ticket to the actual event, then I don't want one to the watch party as much. But in your case, I think that's such a smart move to have a piece of history that is much more financially attainable, even if it's still like pretty rare and, you know, not that much out there, especially in that one location.
Yeah. I mean, who would have thought to save those tickets from the watch parties? By the way, on Leland's auctions, the Ali Frazier throw in Manila, so 1975 in the Philippines, the full ticket.
Yeah.
PSA 3, pop one with one higher.
Wow.
Spring 2022 sold for $22,000.
Wow.
$22,000. So obviously this is the watch party, the real ticket from the Philippines, full ticket. PSA 3 sold for $22,000 in the spring of 2022.
That's a piece of history.
Right, I'm saying. There. And I'm into this for so little, the $30, and I'll probably grade it, that I don't think I'm going to sell that. I don't think I'm going to sell this. I think this is a super cool collector's item. My dad is a big boxing fan, so obviously I texted him as soon as I got it. He thought it was cool. Yeah, this is a collector's item.
Yeah.
I'm keeping this.
That's awesome. And I'm glad that you came to that realization here, talking it through, you know, a little bit more. But that was the same thing with my dad also, you know, big boxing fan, huge Ali fan, and, you know, kind of cool to connect with our parents over, you know, picking up these pieces of history. That's great that you, you're creeping closer to being a ticket guy though. Can you at least give me that?
Closer than I was last week. Sure.
Oh my gosh. All right. I really got to tug this rope hard to, get you going. So Craig, tying it back to the college theme, college or nah. And we purposely didn't put college cards or nah, because, you know, we have to kind of incorporate tickets with my new journey down this rabbit hole.
College. Maybe not. I thought we called it college cards.
Oh, shoot. You might be right.
We did. It's college cards or nah. Flows way better.
Okay. I'll give you that, since you said you're one step closer to being a ticket guy.
Cool.
So speaking of ticket guys, speaking of college, I got a college ticket that you might find interesting that I think is drastically undervalued. And you also have to consider, which in a very rare case, what if this guy had no pro career? He did not even play professionally. So think of college football players who are very well known as superstar people, but didn't even play in the pros. Do you have anybody who comes to mind? I think you're muted.
What sport are we talking here?
Football.
notable football player, didn't really do anything in the pros,
but not very notable for being a football player.
I got nothing.
Okay. The ticket here. The final game of Dwayne "The Rock" Johnson at the University of Miami, the U.
That's a good one.
And look at the artwork if you're watching on the YouTube here. The Fiesta Bowl, 1994, Dwayne "The Rock" Johnson's final NCAA game, college football at the University of Miami. And they lost 29-0 to Arizona.
But that still, yeah, that looks like that belongs on the wall in someone's house in like South Beach.
Right?
Yeah,
this is like a relaxing game.
Yeah.
Look at that. So it was in Sun Devil Stadium in Tempe, Arizona. January 1st, so New Year's Day, 1994. And guess what, Craig? 5 months and 25 days later, a young man would be born on this earth and host a podcast called Crosstown Cardboard. So same year as me being born, 1994. And the artwork is really cool. So it's in a PSA slab, and it's a PSA 5. And I'm pulling up the pop report right here.
What does it say on the label?
So the label says 1994 Fiesta Bowl, Arizona 29, Miami 0. Dwayne Johnson in quotes, "The Rock," last NCAA game. And in a PSA 5, it is a pop 3 with only 6 higher.
Cool.
What do you think I paid for this?
The Rock's last college game in a PSA 5. You paid $75 for that.
Oh, close, bro. You got a great feel. $60.
Nice. Where?
I bought it from a buddy on Instagram.
Nice. Shout out to your buddy.
Yeah. It was pretty cool, pretty cheap. To have anything of The Rock. Now, of course, he's not known for playing football at Miami. You know, we mentioned how quickly do you mention that when you talk about the athlete and their legacy. But The Rock is got to be a top 10 most famous people in the world. So yep. Anything that relates to him, you know, his WWE debut would be insane. You know, and now he's back, you know, in WWE and he's a central character in, you know, what they're doing. So that's awesome that he's back, you know, doing that on top of all the acting and the tequila and the, you know, being an inspirational dude. And so I just thought anything of The Rock, especially that would be his last college game. I was like, you know what, for $60, you know, in my mind, how can you go wrong? And there's 10 fewer in this condition or better. So I don't know, just something kind of cool. Not a, you know, wow, look at this awesome piece, but still, and the artwork on the ticket, you know, I thought it was cool for $60.
Yeah, very much so. Unique, something you don't see a lot.
Speaking of unique, great segue to me picking up this one, Craig, that I don't know if you've seen. I'm interested to get your take on this.
Harder ticket.
Neither.
Oh, hey.
But it's a piece of... It's a tweener. It's a tweener. Kind of like your, you know, ticket to the watch party. It's a little bit of a tweener. So I picked this up in a trade with a buddy on Facebook who I've traded with a couple times before. I actually got my ticket to Michael Jordan's final game at Madison Square Garden from this same guy, which that ticket is the highest graded ticket of Michael Jordan's final game in New York City at MSG. Thank you for bringing Teddy the dog to witness this pickup. This is, Craig, this is a media pass. And, you know, me being a member of the media, getting to cover some of these events, that also hits me in the heart. This is a media pass to the Boston Celtics game 36 of the season. But the most significant part, Larry Bird's rookie season, 1979-1980, Boston Celtics media pass, autographed by Larry Bird. Mm. So a rookie year media pass, Larry Bird autograph in a PSA slab. auto authentic, no media pass grade. But I thought that was super cool. The guy who I got it from wanted about a $225 value on it. I fully traded into it with three cards. So I'm into it for like $125.
Go off, King.
So I thought that was cool. I don't have any media passes. You know, I've been getting the tickets recently.
Well, you've gotten tons of media passes.
Well, for me,
you get a media pass every week for work.
Right. I don't have any Larry Bird media passes or media passes to events I haven't attended myself. So to pick up this tweener between a ticket and a card, I thought, and add to my Larry Bird, a couple tickets I have now with the Larry Bird night dual autos with the Magic and Bird and, my decent sized PC of Larry Bird for cards. I thought this was so cool, rookie year media pass, and there's none out there that are autographed by him. So it's also a rare item and, pretty cool. And by the way, in this game 36 of the season, which is the home game 36. So don't be confused because, this is at the Boston Garden. They only numbered the games that were home games. They didn't count the away games in the numbering. So game 36, they played the Washington Bullets, lost in overtime, but Larry Bird scored 33 points, which I thought, I thought that just added a little extra cool nugget of.
It does. Coolness. I agree.
Yeah. So it's like, Larry Bird's number was 33, of course, and he scored 33 points in this game from his rookie year media pass autographed. That was kind of a cool pickup that I was excited about.
I'm a fan. It is. It's the little nuances that make a difference.
Yeah.
Maybe we're just optimistic, but I'm with you. I let little things like that, I think, go a long way.
Especially like maybe not if I was going to go sell that, somebody be like, that doesn't add a dollar amount value, but it adds a cool factor. It increases a collector's CTCR, the cool to cost ratio that we love on this show, that we've adopted as one of our mottos along with Tony Gwynn. So excited about that, bro. And you have a couple pickups that you're excited about, some mix cards.
A couple small tidbits that I'm going to touch on for like 30 seconds each, and then we'll talk about my show tomorrow, your trade night tonight.
All right.
First thing is I listed a few cards on eBay as auctions, 99 cents, let it ride. It's very interesting to see. Just like on social media, you get traction on something that you post because there's a lot of likes, comments, responses, etc.
Yep.
eBay is the same thing with watchers and bids. I'll put something up, no traction. I'll put something up, something else, 20 watchers, 9 bids, 18 watchers, 7 bids. And it's interesting to see which cards gain those traction.
Yep.
So this one, for example, base card, but 0304 Upper Deck Exquisite. Stephon Marbury. This one has been quite popular.
That's cool.
Obviously, it's just the base, but it's the first year Exquisite. Marbury's a popular player out of 225.
And 0304, the iconic rookie draft class. So.
Of course. And this one was the Jonas Valanciunas patch card.
Yeah.
But it came from the first year Flawless, 2012-13. It's game worn. It's the gold out of 10 specifically. So I guess you hit the right buzzwords. First year Flawless. First year Exquisite. Game worn. Gold out of 10.
Rookie year for Valanciunas.
Yeah. So those two I'm listing right now. Just kind of cards that I had. The type of cards I had in my inventory that I don't feel like anyone at a show was ever going to give me maybe the value I wanted for it. So let's let the market decide.
And so you're happy with the traction it's gotten so far?
100%. This was a $20 shipped pickup. Bernard King, optic, gold autograph out of 10.
That's easy.
Sticker auto, but still, gold out of 10. We'll take it. Nice signature fully on the sticker with a nice note. Keep up the good work with Crosstown Cardboard. It's been one of my favorite podcasts recently. So shout out to Preston, DiVietro Cards.
No, I love Preston. I always talk to him online.
Yep. So I'll take that for $20 shipped all day. I have a show tomorrow that I'm going to, the White Plains show in Westchester. It looks like it's been pretty dead today, although it's raining.
Yeah.
But strategy going into the show. I'm looking at my inventory. What am I going to bring? And it kind of just feels like
no one is going to give me the value, or people just aren't going to want a lot of the things that I have. So I'm not really going to come with much except for one card.
Okay.
Which leads us to a new segment on the show called Good Comp, Bad Comp. But I have this, and I've talked about it before. Eli Manning is obviously popular in this region. And every one of the shows I go to, there's always like a good amount of really passionate Eli collectors. So this is his 04 Upper Deck Reflections, RPA. It is the patch version. You can see the stitching. Numbered out of 21. Never, ever comes up for sale. They have autographs. Sometimes you'll see the autograph jersey, but the patch, you'll never see for sale. This is numbered out of 21. So here's how I think the best way to comp that was. Look up the same set. See if there's other sales. And this is the PSA 8 with a 10 autograph. Here is a Ben Roethlisberger. Same card. Sure, okay. Sure, the patch is nicer. No denying that. But regardless, it's still, you know, you got the stitching. So this is the Ben Roethlisberger. Same exact card. There you go.
Shout out the terrible towel.
This is actually a decent thumbnail pick.
Oh, wait, well, hold on. Hold on. Let me get in focus here.
It's a little deceiving because it's not my card. But point is,
right?
If this is the Ben Roethlisberger, same set, out of 21, RPA, raw, and this sold on auction for $455.
Okay.
Where does that put this?
Now just go through the numbering again on the Roethlisberger real quick.
Both of them are RPAs out of 21, same set, sticker auto. The Roethlisberger patch is nicer. There's no doubt about it.
Actual patch. The Eli's a one color jersey.
No, it is a patch.
It is a patch.
You see the stitching on there?
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. You can see the blue. Yep.
You can see the blue and you can see the stitching. So yep. I don't know. That's a data point to me.
And what's the grading on the Eli?
PSA 8 with a 10 auto, and it is a very condition-sensitive set because Reflections is very shiny.
Yeah.
So, I mean, who's more collectible to you, Eli or Ben Roethlisberger?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, after recently being in Pittsburgh, just with that fan base in particular, they are just Steeler crazy. And I walked up, I'm like, Yins guys loves your Steelers, you know, because, you know, they like saying Yins in Pittsburgh. Mm. Anyway, that's a little bit of an insider knowledge. So... with the Eli, I would say in general, Eli's more collectible just with the two Super Bowls, New York market. But the Steelers do have a passionate collector base and Roethlisberger with one Super Bowl. So if that Roethlisberger with the three color non-graded went for $450, I would say you could easily ask around the same for the Eli, maybe negotiate down a little bit because the patch isn't as nice. It is graded 8 out of 10. So I would price it like the same as the Roethlisberger and maybe accept like 400 if you got an offer.
That's what I was thinking. I'm into it for three. So that comp makes me feel good.
Yeah, that's good. That's a great point to bring up.
So if I can't sell it, I'd even like to trade it and maybe piece it up, trade down, if you will, just to get some new stuff.
Yeah.
But I'm going, like, if I went to that storage unit at 4 p.m. on a Friday after I'd been searched through all week and I could still find this, that gives me the same amount of confidence to go to a show and be able to uncover some gems that a lot of people missed. So that's why I'm not going with many cards tomorrow except for this one. Otherwise, I'm bringing some cash and I'm hoping to find some hidden gems.
Yeah, I liked what you said. Don't give up, you know, as far as, you know, when you're looking for stuff and you're trying to find something cool. Like you said, 99% of it might be junk or stuff that you don't personally want. But you find that 1% and it makes you feel great about making the trip and gives you something to connect with people over on social media and even something with your dad. So,
yep.
You know, all you need to do is find that one thing that you like and it makes it worth it in the end. So I got a couple things that I like, Craig, for the PC real quick.
Talk to me.
You remember last episode we talked about how you, I don't exactly know how to phrase it, but you got a card that I wanted, the Vince Carter dual jersey, one with the UNC, one with the Raptors. Very cool. From our guy, Koopy Cards, who I messaged about that card. He said, Craig already got it. I said, why don't you tell that guy, go back to the podcast from whence he came. So I immediately jumped on another card that Koopy Cards posted before you could get your claws on it. And it was this Earl the Pearl Monroe.
Seen it. Nice.
On card auto. It's from the Legendary Signatures set, Upper Deck, and the year was 2000 that this came out. So it's an iconic set with the horizontal design, old school. So you said you seen it and you passed on it, or you seen it and he told you that I already bought it?
Oh, I didn't make a play for that one.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's all you.
Okay. I'm glad, because that would have really hurt if I had come back to him trying to buy another card and he had said, Craig bought this as well.
Yeah. I might just start buying all the cards that I think you might want. And then, yeah, sell two for a premium. That'd
be really thoughtful.
Strategy.
Great, great friend move. So speaking of another Knicks auto, this one year after the Upper Deck Legendary Signatures Earl to Pearl Monroe. This is the next year, so 2001 of Legendary Signatures, Willis Reed on card auto. So you got the back-to-back years of two all-time Knicks legends, Willis Reed, Earl to Pearl Monroe, the captain, that's right, of the Legendary Signatures set. And I can add that to my PC card that has the inscription of the captain for Willis Reed as well. So just a couple cool Knicks pickups. And again, you know, $25 here. And I think another $25. I think these were each $25.
No brainer.
So very easy pickups there. And you mentioned you're going to a show. Here's the captain, Willis Reed, that notable nicknames, National Treasures set. This is the one that I picked up from Culture Collision to match the new Willis Reed Legendary Signatures. So I got the inscription, the captain, and just the straight auto of the captain. So pretty cool. But you mentioned you're going to a show. I'm going to a trade night tonight, which is Saturday again at time of recording. Recording early before the March Madness gets even madder with the schedules for covering the South Carolina women and the Clemson men, hopefully continuing to advance. But I'm excited about this this trade night. Brian Sports Cards and More, my LCS here in Greenville, South Carolina. Great guy, Matty Rich, running the thing. And he's got a bunch of TVs. He's calling it the March Madness trade night, so we're going to have all the games on. And this was the same trade night that I covered as a sports reporter and did that story on, that's on my Instagram, Carmine's Cards, if you haven't seen that one. Pretty cool. A dad and a son bonding over sports cards at the trade night. And now I'll get to participate and hang out as, you know, just a card guy instead of a sports card reporter guy. So we'll have some stories, I'm sure, coming out of the card show for you, my local card show when I was growing up in Westchester in White Plains at the county center. And then some stories coming out of my trade night here. So pretty cool that we get to go to those.
Yeah, it's a little unfortunate with the timing because we might be a week after, but you know what I mean? Like, because we're recording this Saturday before the trade night and the show.
Right.
But this episode is going to drop Wednesday after the trade night and the show. Whatever. Right. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, but our stuff is evergreen. We're just active in the hobby all the time. So,
yeah, listen, the last few weeks, I'm not going to lie, there have been moments where I'm like, I don't know what we're going to talk about this week. And then something just happens. Like, I don't know. You wake up and you find yourself in a storage unit on the west side. Next thing you know, you're holding a ticket and boom, content.
Boom, content. You're like, here, sir. Yeah, do you accept Venmo? I need the content. So I'm just going to. No, it's great that we get, you know, we're naturally picking up stuff that we enjoy and then we get to talk about it. I mean, and share this. Go ahead.
Just like, pardon the interruption, they fixed their errors. Two errors from last week's episode.
Oh.
When I went over the pie chart, I didn't actually give the numbers in the audio version.
Because we had the visual. Right.
So, but it was like basically 52% of my collection is all my cards is my basketball PC. It was like roughly 25% was soccer. 10% was other, 10% was inventory. I failed to include my Knicks PC within basketball. So those numbers might shift a little bit. But I would say my Knicks PC makes up, value-wise at least, 10% of my basketball collection. So it's not that significant.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm glad you included those numbers for people who were listening and not watching last week. But if you were. That was a really cool breakdown. I enjoyed that. I love whenever you get into the numbers, and I think it really provides info to and just comfort to other people, you know, getting to see what you're doing and having you explain the numbers. I mean, I learn a lot from you every week, so I really enjoyed that.
I learn a lot from you, especially about tickets.
Thanks, bro. Oh, by the way, you need to include a little sliver for tickets now in your pie chart.
1%.
You're like, you just do the less than sign, 0.1% tickets. Just to humor me a little bit.
Yeah, tickets, I guess, would be like, you know, Bitcoin's all popular. So, oh, let me just sprinkle in a little bit to say that I'm involved.
Yeah, yeah. There you go. I'll take that for now.
That's it. That's all I got. Good luck at your trade night.
All right, bro. Thank you. Appreciate it. Good luck at your show. Can't wait to hear about it more on the next week's episode.
Peace.